Light with Pete Schwabe.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm Jennifer Kuiper. The U.S. strikes more than 85 targets in Iraq and Syria with ties to Iran's Islamic Revolutionary Guard Corps and affiliated militia groups. CBS's Margaret Brennan explains the criticism President Biden is getting from some Republican lawmakers for not being more forceful with his military action in the region.
One of the things that they're trying to assess is just what tips that balance, what draws in the United States. If you can only focus on equipment and radar and targeting to make them less effective in attacking, is that enough? Or do you actually need to go out and take out leaders, as President Trump did back in 2020? But that decision to kill Qasem Soleimani, that general, has also left a leadership vacuum in some ways. So everything has a consequence.
President Biden and Defense Secretary Lloyd Austin were among those who attended the dignified transfer of the service members who were killed in Jordan last weekend. CBS's Willie James Inman reports.
The remains of three American service members killed in Jordan last weekend returned to American soil, with President Biden and First Lady Jill Biden joining the families of the fallen soldiers for the solemn event. On Thursday, the president paid tribute to the fallen troops.
They risked it all. And we'll never forget the sacrifices and service to our country that the dozens of service members who were wounded and are recovering now.
In Newton, Massachusetts.
We win! We win! We win! We win!
A tentative contract deal is reached between teachers and the district, ending a two-week strike. Classes are set to resume on Monday. A jury is set to begin deliberating on Monday the landmark case of the first parent of a school shooter to face criminal charges for their child's actions. Jennifer Crumbly has been charged with four counts of involuntary manslaughter after her teenage son Ethan killed four students at his Michigan high school in November 2021. CBS's Lilia Luciano reports.
During cross-examination, prosecutors tried to tear apart Jennifer Crumbly's self-described portrayal as an involved parent.
Your son told his only friend that he had asked you for help.
No, I don't deny that.
Okay. And you also don't deny that he told his only friend that you laughed at him.
I do not deny that.
Instead, prosecutors painted her as a woman more concerned with an extramarital affair and hobbies.
A federal judge in D.C. postpones former President Trump's March trial on charges of plotting to overturn the 2020 election. No new date is set. Exxon overcomes a hefty charge and falling crude prices in the fourth quarter to top profit expectations. This is CBS News.
Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get the parts and service you need fast from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Folks, I tell you this much.
For Civic Media News, I'm Nate Wiggehout. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Two redistricting experts are throwing out two proposed sets of legislative maps drawn by Republicans, but they're not endorsing any of the remaining four proposals, all drawn by Democrats, liberal groups, or university professors. The experts were hired by the state Supreme Court as part of the justices' plan to redraw Wisconsin's political maps. New maps need to be in place by March 15th. The state Supreme Court will hear a lawsuit filed by Governor Tony Evers that the Republican-controlled legislature is obstructing basic government function. Evers filed the lawsuit after legislative leaders blocked funding for a number of state conservation programs and delayed in approving pay raises for University of Wisconsin employees. Evers argues that committees controlled by just a few Republican lawmakers are giving the legislature more power than the state constitution allows. I'm Nate Wiggehout, Civic Media News.
Wisconsin Badgers lose in overtime. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. Men's college basketball, the Badgers on the road in Nebraska. The game going into overtime.
Hepburn with 7 seconds left. Chucky, a deep three. It's off the rim, no good. Gary, the rebound, and Nebraska wins it in overtime by 8. And another court storm here in Lincoln as the sixth-ranked team in the country goes down.
Matt LaPay on the Badgers Radio Network. The final, Nebraska 80, the Badgers 72. Head coach Greg Gard asked, was it the Badgers' second-half turnovers that did them in?
Yeah, that combined with bad shot selection and no play in the paint.
NFL, Brian Gutekunst says poor play in the secondary is partly what led to them firing Joe Barry and hiring Boston College head coach Jeff Hafley as their new defensive coordinator. The Packers GM says they will likely work out a contract extension with Jordan Love in the next few months. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Mostly cloudy, patchy fog tonight and a low in the upper 20s. A mixture of sunshine and clouds tomorrow and highs in the mid-40s. Mostly sunny, warm, and upper 40s for the high Sunday. The warm weather continues for next week. Several highs in the 40s, even some 50s. It's 28 degrees right now.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
Locally grown radio, your home for news, talk, and sports from Rudolph to Nakusa. 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.
Relatives in four directions. This is Robert Pilot of Native Roots Radio presents I'm Awake. I'm here to ask you for your support. Finding honest, Native-centered news is not easy. But with your support, we're able to provide accurate information about Standing Rock, Line 3, treaty violations, and COVID-19 in our Native communities. Please visit Native Roots Radio Network on Patreon and donate if you can. That's Native Roots Radio Network on Patreon. Pinigigi, and thank you for your support.
With a look at your AM 950 weather, I'm Patrick Lilia. Tonight, cloudy with a low of 30, then Saturday, clouds clear out with sunny skies and a high of 46. The music is still the hottest at Crooner's Supper Club in Fridley. Crooner's is located just north of I-694 off Highway 65 and Moorlake Drive. View their upcoming music schedules and food menus at croonersloungemn.com.
Portions of Native Roots Radio may be pre-recorded.
It's a good day to be indigenous.
Get up, stand up.
They are going to become more brutal.
Couldn't cut, hidden cut again.
Because all the hippies are trying to be Indians anyway.
They're going to become more repressive because it's a matter of dollars and their illusionary concepts of power.
Hey, Victor.
We must live in balance with the earth.
And also with recent happenings at Wounded Knee.
I am awake.
Welcome to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Wakunja Hade. Hey, welcome to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Robert Pilot. Hey, we discuss local and national Native news and events. And as you know, Haley, Native issues are human issues, and human issues are Native issues.
Mm-hmm. You are right, Dega. This portion of the show is supported by the Minnesota Indian Women's Sexual Assault Coalition.
Hey, it's Friday, and we have State Senator Mary Kunish here of the great state of Minnesota. Welcome, Mary. How's it going?
Hello, everyone. I'm doing well. We're busy getting ready for the next session, but all in all, it's been pretty good.
Awesome. Hey, I just want to bring this up, and I don't want to start out on a negative note, because it seems like our show with you on Friday is always super positive, and Wendy like ends the show a lot of times with the fun facts of our sacred animals. But I just have to ask you a thing that I just saw a report on a few days ago on the local news. And, you know, the local news, that's all I have to say. They were talking about the Republicans not liking the flag, and that it was a really slanted kind of report, and that the Republicans are going to bring up and keep the flag, and there's no reason to change it, and they don't like the flag, and oh my goodness, where are we at with that?
Sure. Well, I am actually the author of the legislation that created the commission to look at and decide on a new flag. And so we went through the process just the way that we said we did. It was really quite transparent. Mm-hmm. We spent hours and days on meetings and talking and discussing what a good flag looks like, what it should, in you know, the intent of why we're doing this. And at the end of the commission, we came up with a new flag. And it's not, you know, not everybody's going to be happy with it. Not everybody's going to jump for joy. And that's certainly, we're seeing that. We're getting more, you know, we're hearing these groups of people who don't want the flag and for whatever reason, and they're starting to push back. So a couple of, there was a county and there's a couple of communities that wanted to send resolutions to the governor that, not to accept it as to go back and redo it and give more time for the public to talk about it. But we did. We you know, it was in all the news, in all the media. We made it very user-friendly for the people of Minnesota. And so they did narrow it down to a flag and a seal. And at this point, barring any legislation that would change it or anything, Minnesota will have a new flag by spring. What? And I'm actually really, you know, excited about it. Is it the flag that I would have chosen? Maybe not. Does it represent every, you know, is there something on there for everybody? I would hope so. I would hope so. And, you know, it's very simple. Three colors, sort of a, not an abstract, but a strong resemblance of the state of Minnesota in mm-hmm. the left corner, and then a star to represent the North Star, and then just mm-hmm. light blue. So it's very, very simple. It's amazing what kind of a conversation you can have around the different shapes of stars and what those stars represent.
Mm-hmm.
And so, we did come up with, I think, a good solution to the issue, and I think it'll serve us well for a good long time.
I agree, and you know, we have one of our friends, Ho-Chunk, former city council member, first Native American city council member in Madison, Wisconsin, Arvina Martin, and they worked on a change of their flag, city flag. And she had nothing but great things to say about what you guys did in the design of this one. She was ecstatic because she had to go through the same learning process as a lot of you guys did about what makes a good flag. Can a third grader draw it, or, you know, and mm-hmm. all those things that I would never think of. And so, you know, how often have I even flown the original state flag, let known, you know, I never have. So yeah. I think there's a lot of nothing going on here that contrarians like to contrary, I guess that's
contrarians are going to contrary. You're right. You're absolutely right. We have heard that there from the Republican Party that there will be legislation to recall it and redo it and all of those sort of things.
Oh, great.
But, you know, we did it. We went in there with the best of intentions, with the best of best outcomes that we had hoped for. The history. Minnesota History Center was able to help us organize it, and they did an outstanding job. We had a great chair and a great vice chair who really kept us on task and brought in experts to speak about it, gave us all plenty of time to discuss it. But again, there's those that didn't, you know, get what they wanted, or for them it's not really resounding, but hopefully people will embrace it. And I'm hearing a lot of good things. I mean, there are plenty of people that say, you know, that really wasn't my first choice. I wish it had this, or I wish there was that, mm-hmm. but all in all, you know, I have very few people, other than, you know, the other side of the aisle that are really adamant against it. And we'll, you know, I think we'll continue to push this forward.
Yeah, and I mean, you look at it from a distance, the old flag was just a big blurry dot in the middle, and this one does have a state, you know, kind of a abstract kind of a design of the state in the left-hand corner, like you said, and the star, and it'll be a lot easier to recognize, too. Hey, let's move on just a second here. We have the license plates coming out soon for the MMIW, right?
Yes. We should hopefully have it all ready to go by mid-February. People can start ordering it. I have been speaking with Juliet Rudy, who is the executive director of the MMIR office, and we're both like, what are you going to put on your license plate? You know? But it's going to be really, it'll be lovely. It very, very much what I had imagined it to be two and a half years ago when I first came up with the idea for the license plate. And that is, I wanted the red hand, of course, and then I wanted a ribbon skirt that was sort of rippling. And they were able to design one, and they used the logo for the MMIR office, which I love. So that's great. Yep. That'll be over in the left. And then there is going to be a ribbon skirt kind of rippling on the other side. And you can put your own letters and number combination on there. So I'm still kind of working out which, I mean, that's like a vanity plate. If you do it that way, there might be a little bit of extra money, but to do this extra license, there is a small annual fee, and that fee goes into the reward pool that we created in the MMIR office. And so they will be able to use those dollars to reward people, to ask for, you know, to kind of ferry out information. They have to do investigations or searches. So I'm really, really excited. And again, Minnesota's leading the nation in this.
So we can go now to the Minnesota Department of Transportation and order one now?
I would wait until mid-February when we actually have the, we just are waiting for the troopers to okay the design.
Well, mine will be saying Ho-Chunk. Hey, we're here with State Senator Mary Kunish, and this is Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake.
Stay with us.
When we heal from our traumas,
when we face our fears,
let go of our addictions,
when we relearn our values,
when we live our teachings,
respecting our elders,
cherishing and honoring our children,
when we honor and take care of our spirit,
there will be no room left for sexual violence.
Sponsored by the Minnesota Indian Women's Sexual Assault Coalition.
Life can be hectic. Sometimes the pressure can feel like too much, and the emotions can be overwhelming. Hennepin County's COPE Mobile Crisis Response is here to listen and help you find a way through whatever is going on in your life. Call 612-596-1223 for no-cost crisis support anytime, anywhere in Hennepin County. That number is 612-596-1223.
The city of Minneapolis is now on Native Roots Radio with Minneapolis AIR. AIR stands for American Indian Relations. Guest host Christine McDonald talks to people about important things affecting the city's Native communities. Minneapolis AIR dives into topics like public safety, public health, elections, and so much more. Tune in to Minneapolis AIR on Native Roots Radio from 5 to 6 p.m. on the second Wednesday of every month, right here on AM 950.
Minnesotans are hardy. We don't let snow or ice get in our way. We have places to go, so making sure your vehicle is in prime shape for winter driving is so important. Take your vehicle to Rudy Luther Toyota for all your service needs. I was just there. I got my oil and filters replaced, and they did a complete safety check to make sure my vehicle can tackle what winter has up its sleeve. And they service all makes and models of vehicles. Head to RudyLutherToyota.com and use their super easy Toyota service scheduler to set up your service appointment today. Rudy Luther Toyota, on the southeast corner of 394 and 169 in Golden Valley.
Hey, welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents. I'm Awake.
This portion of the show is supported by Native American Community Clinic on Franklin Avenue in Minneapolis, honoring health and tradition.
Hey, we are here with State Senator Mary Kunish and talking over, and she's there babysitting on our Friday babysitting, so it's good to hear the babies in the background, and you're just missing a cat and a dog over there to make some good, interesting, well, there we go, it sounded like a cat.
Her mama came, so now it's all excited about her mama being here.
Oh, Grandma who?
Yeah.
Jeez, I don't know if I like that. A lot going on here, and a lot of what happened this last week. News was like totally fast about, you know, our friend Maggie Lorenz. And what's your take on what happened here? And I know it's kind of turned out to be a good learning situation, but at first it was pretty, like, I don't know, brought up a lot of angst for us here on Native Roots Radio.
Yeah, so what we're talking about is the fact that the St. Paul Winter Carnival medallion, which gets hidden every year, and then you have to follow the clues that are in the newspaper and find the medallion. And it's usually hidden, you know, pretty well, and folks really get into it. Well, this year it was hidden down at the Wakan Tipi in St. Paul, which of course is historically a very sacred site for the Dakota people. And for centuries, or, you know, decades, as soon as the whites came to Minnesota, that area that is right down by, right on the Mississippi River, where the barges would come through and the riverboats would come through, and it was a perfect place for the trains to come through. And there's a bluff with a cave that had sacred drawings and archaeological items that, of course, were either destroyed or removed. And Maggie and the Wakan Tipi folks have been working so hard to return it to its natural state, to educate people around the sacredness of the site, as well as allowing, building a sort of an interpretive center there, which we have been working really hard with the legislature to get them some dollars to do that. And to have it hidden there have people tromping through it in a way. And I think there were people that tried to get into the bluffs in the cave. Was just really heartbreaking. And nobody knew that it was there, of course. And of course, you know, in the beginning, when we first found out, everybody was horrified, you know, the Native community. And poor Maggie was heartbroken. Mm. But the Star Tribune, who's responsible for it, were very apologetic and probably a little horrified themselves.
That was the St. Paul paper, the Pioneer Press.
Yes. Yep, the St. Paul Pioneer. So I think at the end of the day, they recognized how terrible it was and how, and they did apologize profusely and sincerely, mm-hmm. and really recognized that they had made a terrible mistake and took ownership for it. And I think it was a huge, huge learning opportunity for a lot of people and organizations.
Well, Maggie told us that she got a lot of calls the next day from the city and people that she works with in the community that really jumped in and apologized. And like you said, we got to get back one step. The Pioneer Press, there's only one person who hides and gives the clues, and nobody knows who he is. Could be her too. But they've been doing it for all these years. It's $10,000. So people, especially when there's snow, state senator, yeah. there's digging going on everywhere. Yeah. And I heard there was some digging by that birthing cave. And it wasn't as bad as it could have been because there probably wasn't snow. But he didn't know. And then he has nobody, the person that makes the clues and hides it, doesn't have to talk to anybody about where they're hiding it.
Yeah.
And this was not on like the Capitol and like the governor's mansion. And there's a few other places on the list of do not look for this.
Yeah.
I think years past, people went down there looking for it, even if the clues weren't directed exactly towards that place. So that's good to get it on that list.
Absolutely.
And
it just raises the consciousness, not in a bad way, but it raises the consciousness of people like, is this an okay place, especially if it's connected to a cultural group or an ethnic group, you know, like mm-hmm. if it was the Rondo neighborhood, is this a place that is special or unique or sacred to our African-American folks, you know, would mm-hmm. you do something like that? Is it Phelan Lake that has the beautiful Asian garden area? I don't know right. that they would hide it in there, but there's a growing awareness of these sacred sites in Minnesota. And I hope that folks just stop and pause for a minute when they are around something that seems kind of unique or whatever, before they do anything like that. And of course, we always want to make sure that we are treating Mother Nature, you know, the earth, the land, the waters, the skies, our communities, with respect by not abusing the space. So we're not leaving our garbage and our trash. We're not mm-hmm. tromping through trees and bushes and grasses that might be, you know, vulnerable or fragile, that wherever we go, remember, I mean, I remember this was a mantra that my grandpa and then my family always grew up with, like, leave a place in better condition than you found it.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe this is just one of those learning opportunities where we can remind everybody, think twice before you do, or, you know, have an effect on an environment.
You know, I remember when I was really young, because my family lived, was from kind of the east side. My father, Robert Pilot Sr., was brought up in Harding and back in the 30s and 40s. And the Winter Carnival one year had the snow castle, I believe, in Mounds Park.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember there was no fences. People were playing on those burial mounds. And, you know, that was not that long ago. So people have learned, State Senator Mary, that things they just have to learn, and people are acting differently towards that area.
Well, I remember when I was first elected to the House back in 2017, it was my first session, and the legislature, there was a bill to put money into a park up there in Mounds Park with a water park and everything. Yeah. And it's like, you guys, those are sacred mounds. That's a burial site. Yeah. And people just looked at me like, what are you talking about? It's Mounds Park. I'm like, do you know what those mounds are? Right. You know, you might as well call it Mounds Cemetery, because those mm-hmm. are our ancestors. And you know, there have been mounds up there that were disturbed prior to that.
Well, there were 100 grave sites there over the years that were definitely dug up. And mm-hmm. I remember that was a big deal. The splash pad and all that going on there, and there was a lot of community members that were upset, and there was a lot of things going on there, and it ended up changing, because not only are there burial grounds, but the bones of our ancestors are all over that park.
Oh yes.
Oh my gosh, yes. You know, I remember it was so interesting a couple years ago when Wakan Tipi was just, it was just starting to get organized. Mm-hmm. And we went down there. My brother and my sister and I joined something that Maggie was holding down there. And we were talking to, I forget what his name is. He's the archaeologist up at the University of Minnesota Duluth. And we were talking about, you know, finding artifacts and things as, and we're just walking down the trail and I'm walking. And all of a sudden I look down and I swear to God, an arrowhead this big, an inch and a half. And I reached down, I'm like this. And they all looked at me like, oh my God, you just plucked that out of the, you know, the sand.
Your hometown news talk and sports station is locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.
CBS News Special Report. The U.S. military launched an air assault on dozens of sites in Iraq and Syria used by Iranian-backed militias and Iran's Islamic Revolutionary Guards Corps. In it's a retaliation to the drone strike that killed three U.S. troops in Jordan last weekend. More from CBS's David
this
Martin.
This was much, much more than the previous retaliatory strikes we've seen in response to the attacks on American troop locations. To date, I think there have been something like 165 attacks.
National Security Council spokesman John Kirby says the Department of Defense is in the early stages of battle damage assessment, but believes that the strikes were successful.
The United States does not seek conflict with Iran or in the broader Middle East. But as President Biden has made clear, we will not hesitate to defend our people and hold responsible all those who harm Americans at a time, at a place of our choosing.
CBS News Special Report. I'm Jennifer Kuiper.
For Civic Media News, I'm Nate Wegehoe. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Democrat Dean Phillips will appear next to Joe Biden on Wisconsin's presidential primary ballot. The state Supreme Court ruled unanimously Friday. They found that the bipartisan presidential selection committee should have done more to get Phillips's input on the matter. The presidential primary election is April 4th. February is American Heart Month. Heart disease is the leading cause of death in the United States. That's been the case for a century. Chrissy Myers with the American Heart Association.
Nearly half of all people in the U.S. have some type of cardiovascular disease.
A new Heart Association study finds nearly 4 out of 10 people with high blood pressure are unaware they have it. Myers says that puts a lot of people at risk for heart attacks and stroke. I'm Nate Wegehoe, Civic Media News.
Celebrating 75 years.
We got something going here in Madison.
On the ice.
Shoots and scores again.
Against the boards.
He hangs on. Badgers kill off the major.
Between the pipes.
Redirect another fantastic stop.
This is Badger Hockey.
Shoots one, scores. Wow.
It's everything.
For the win, he shoots and scores.
Badger Hockey lives here.
Keep it going.
The Badger Sports Network from Learfield.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Mostly cloudy, patchy fog tonight and a low in the upper 20s. A mixture of sunshine and clouds tomorrow and highs in the mid-40s. Mostly sunny, warm, and upper 40s for the high Sunday. The warm weather continues for next week. Several highs in the 40s, even some 50s. Current temp is 30.
Max Inc. Radio invites you to a live concert each week over the radio. It's Live in the Lair on Max Inc. Saturday night. It's a full hour of live music and in-depth interviews with the artist. Listen across Civic Media every Saturday at 9 p.m. and grab the podcast at maxincradio.com. Live in the Lair, presented by the Aaron Weber Group at movetomadison.com. Max Inc. on Civic Media. We are local music.
Up North News Radio with Pat.
From Wisconsin Rapids to Stevens Point, your news, talk, and sports is 97.5 FM, locally grown radio.
.com. Snap Construction is arguably the most well-reviewed insulation and exterior contractor in the metro area.
Winter is reading season.
These long, frigid nights are perfect for getting cozy with a new book from Next Chapter Booksellers. Stop in at the store off Snelling and Grand in St. Paul and browse the shelves. The friendly staff at Next Chapter Booksellers are great at making recommendations no matter your age and taste. And if you already know what you'd like to get, you can order just about any book online at nextchapterbooksellers.com. So catch up on your winter reading with Next Chapter Booksellers.
With a look at your AM 950 weather, I'm Patrick Lilia. Tonight, cloudy with a low of 30, then Saturday, clouds clear out with sunny skies and a high of 46. The music is still the hottest at Crooner's Supper Club in Fridley. Crooner's is located just north of I-694 off Highway 65 and Morlake Drive. View their upcoming music schedules and food menus at croonersloungemn.com.
Hey, welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake.
This portion of the show is supported by JS Bean Factory off Randolph Avenue in St. Paul. Only the good stuff keeps us awake.
I am awake. Hey, we're here with State Senator Mary Kunish, and before we get going too far, it's that time of year, and it's a great celebration, and I just want to wish you and everybody out there a happy Black History Month.
Well, thank you, Wopila Tonka. I would like to also acknowledge and wish everybody a happy Black History Month. There's so much to learn, and while the perils of the Indigenous people of the United States and the Black people are not exactly the same, they have, you know, suffered at the hands of colonization in very similar ways, yet different. And we're all, you know, still feeling those effects. You know, the slavery, they were brought here, they were forced here. This country, in a lot of ways, was built on the backs of Black slaves, especially in the South. Mm-hmm. And then, of course, not having the same opportunities economically, education, housing, all of those things. So I hope, as much as there seems to be a positive turn for our Native community, Indigenous people across America, I hope that that is continuing for our African-American communities. And one thing I'll just share that's really positive is our neighbors in Wisconsin passed a missing and murdered African-American women's task force.
Wow.
Yeah. And it was based on the legislation that Representative Ruth Richardson and I passed here in Minnesota. Mm. So we've been supporting them back and forth. They really used a lot of our experience to get theirs passed. And I just recently wrote a letter, and this was to create their office, their permanent office of missing and murdered African Americans like we have. Mm-hmm. And so I just recently wrote a letter of support, and the bill passed. And so we will continue to do that work with them, because the intersections of African American and Indigenous people is very strong. And let's remember that there are a lot of our relatives that are mixed, whether it's with the Latino community, the African American community, the Asian South Pacific, you know. We are an amalgamation of all these beautiful cultures, and plenty of our relatives carry the heritage of both the African American and the Indigenous.
Yeah, and I was going to mention that too. I'm glad you did. And there's a newer term out there now, Afro-Indigenous, that I've heard as an old person here going, oh, that's a new one, but. And many of them are our relatives, and really our close relatives, Haley. So we do have a lot of McKees out there that are Afro-Indigenous. So a great Black History Month to everybody listening.
Yeah, 100%.
So we always have to do this you know, with Wendy, who was always telling me, well, ask Mary what she wants to talk about. And one of the things before we get there, and I think you wanted to talk about this too, is the museums and this new federal law that just came out that kind of, I don't know, surprised people, or it's, or at least seemed that way in the national news. What's your take?
Well, it shouldn't surprise people too much. What it is that an update to the NAGPRA law, or NAGPRA Act, that's the Native American Graves Protection and Reparation Act, and there was a recent update to that. And so what the deal is that, you know, you just can't go dig up mounds, dig up areas and take whatever is found, whether it's the bones or the artifacts or anything like that. And that's been around, NAGPRA has been around for a long, long time. But now what they're saying is that these museums that are holding a lot of these artifacts, they really need to repatriate them back to the tribes.
Wow.
And so what they have to do is get consent from the tribes before displaying any cultural objects or using them for research, because we've heard the stories of in the past archaeologists finding bones and taking them to their universities or their research places and studying the bones and that sort of thing. Well, those are our ancestors. Yeah. Those are somebody's parents, grandparents, great-grandparents, no matter what. And I don't know that any of us, you know, without permission would want that to happen. And so there are some museums that are, you know, really doing the best that they can. Others are saying, well, until we hear from the tribes, we're just going to continue. But, you know, for a lot of museums, they have substantial displays and exhibits. I mean, if you think of here in the Twin Cities, some of our museums have incredible ones, and even our history center. So I think that will be a lot of work on the side of these museums to be sure that they are following this to the last letter, to the last period of the law. And you know, in the past I've heard, well, we can't give it back. Where are they going to put it? Do they have museums to put it?
Wow.
You know, how do they even know how to hold it or handle it? I mean, like we don't know how to take care of our ancestors.
Jeez.
And so, you know, I mean, and that in a way, that's a legitimate thing. You know, if you were to return 10 truck full, semi truck full of artifacts and remains, are we prepared to get them back? But I think what's most important here is you're working with the tribes.
Mm-hmm.
You're working with them. And if it means that, please hold on to them until we are ready for them. But we do want them back, or at least we want to have a say in how they're displayed and how they're used.
Well, you remember the story in 2005, we got the tribe got this back, but the story about Yale and their secret society Skull and Bones having Geronimo's skull for all those years and on display at their Yale fraternity place, and finally getting that back in 2005 and burying it with the rest of his body is just an example, Mary, of what we're talking about. Maybe in the more severe side, but yet still, that's what we're talking about.
Yeah, yeah. Again, it's just it's one of those things that we have to continue to educate around and educate around. So we'll keep doing it. We'll keep doing it.
Yeah, definitely. Well, what do you got ahead? We got a couple more minutes here. What do you got ahead this next week? I know you've been doing a lot of traveling around the state. I know you have your grandkids this weekend, and but you guys are a couple weeks away from firing up another session. And another triple threat session too, I may add. And so there's got to be some excitement and preparation going on these next 2 weeks.
Yep. We're doing a lot of preparation for this next session. Last session, we had just an astronomical session where we had a lot of surplus dollars and we had a lot of money to invest in Minnesota. And we used every penny of it, let me tell you. And we used it in the best way possible. As the chair of education finance, I had $5.3 billion to put towards education, and it's starting to pay off. Yeah. There was a great article in the Star Tribune about how Minneapolis schools put at least a half-time librarian, licensed librarian, back into their schools.
Yeah.
And one of the quotes from the library media specialist was that the books are flying off the shelf by the gazillion. So it's working. Yay.
Yeah, working. That is. Yes. Yeah. Congratulations.
Yeah. So as a former library media specialist myself, I was just like ecstatic to read that article and hear about that. But I think this will be a little bit of more of a subdued session. It's a shorter session. We're not starting until mid-February, and we have to be done before Memorial Day. Mm-hmm. And we don't have the funding that we had last year. And it's not a funding year. It's a bonding year. So that means... Right. We'll be really focusing on providing the supports for the infrastructure of our state, roads, bridges, state-owned buildings, universities and colleges. And, you know, I kind of have just been saying, I want to review what we did. I want to improve on, you know, anything that we need to improve on, if we can tinker with it here or there a little bit. And then I just want to kind of let it all settle before we start working on some other really good things. We did add new curriculum, ethnic studies, ethnic studies. What else did we put in there? How can I even forget that? But there are a couple of things that we did, and it'll take some work to get it done. And personal finance, that was the other one, which I think is real important.
Yeah.
So we'll just continue to review what we did and make sure that we have the resources there for the schools and the housing and health services, all of those different areas have those resources to do the work that we ask them to do.
So are there any like holdover bills that you didn't get to that can come up, or does that have to go to the next session?
No, we work on a biennium. So if you introduce a bill the first year of the biennium, which was last year, it carries to the second year this year. So we don't have to reintroduce them. Ah. Now, if there's some more bills that we want to do repeat next year, the next biennium, then we would have to get a new bill number and everything like that.
Well, your work's cut out for you, and I'm really glad that you're there, and always great to see a familiar face when we do visit the Capitol. And thank you so much for coming in and spending some time with us. I know it's well appreciated, and I hear a lot of really good things. And this is our seventh year on the air as of January, and you've been such a big part of it. Now I just want to say a big pini gigi.
Well, Wopila Tonka, for always inviting me and giving me an opportunity to talk about this stuff that just seems to come to our mind pretty easily.
Right on. Hey, we'll be right back. This is Native Roots Radio.
The city of Minneapolis is now on Native Roots Radio with Minneapolis AIR. AIR stands for American Indian Relations. Guest host Christine McDonald talks to people about important things affecting the city's Native communities. Minneapolis AIR dives into topics like public safety, public health, elections, and so much more. Tune in to Minneapolis AIR on Native Roots Radio from 5 to 6 p.m. on the second Wednesday of every month, right here on AM 950.
Become a teacher and ignite change. Join the St. Paul Urban Residency Program to become a teacher in just 15 months. You can earn your master's degree and teaching license from the University of St. Thomas while earning a $30,000 stipend, single health care, and dental benefits. As an added bonus, next year's cohort, all residents will receive $20,000 towards their tuition. Apply now. Applications due February 28, 2024. Visit spps.org/SUTR.
As we age, it's important to invest in our health and to help protect it. Like the flu, COVID-19 is always changing. That's why it's important to stay up to date on your vaccines. By getting the flu and COVID-19 vaccines, you can renew your body's defenses and lower the risk of getting sick. Get your health boost and protect yourself against the flu and COVID-19. Find vaccines near you at vaccines.gov. That's vaccines.gov.
Reliability. It's something you demand, and it's something that Rudy Luther Toyota delivers. Consumer Reports just put out their 2024 list of most reliable vehicles, and 7 out of the top 10 are Toyotas, including the top 4, the 4Runner, the Camry Hybrid, the Camry, and the RAV4 Prime. The Highlander Hybrid, the Corolla, and the RAV4 also made the top 10. If 7 out of the top 10 most reliable vehicles are Toyotas, that tells you Toyotas overall are the most reliable brand. Get yourself a Toyota today. Head to Rudy Luther Toyota and test drive your favorite Toyota. Rudy Luther Toyota, the southeast corner of 394 and 169.
Hey, welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents. I'm Wake, and I'm your host, Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is supported by Howling for Wolves, protecting wolves for future generations.
Oh! Hey, Haley, what's happening? I guess we'd like to talk a little bit what's happening around the Twin Cities here the next few days, or really the next day. It looks like there's a lot of stuff happening.
A ton of things happening around the Twin Cities metro area. Really good Native Indigenous events going on. Tomorrow, beginning starting out the weekend, we have Native Heart Art Market, which is happening Saturday, February 3rd from 1 to 4.
And hard to say. Heart Market. No, Native Heart Art Market. That's hard to say.
Yeah, Native Heart Art Market. There we go. That'll be at 120 or 1228 Payne Avenue in St. Paul. Some of the artists there, Jennifer Adams, Jada Gray Eagle, Delaney Kishena, Alex Romero. So, yeah.
Marlena Miles, who I don't know if you've seen her buses, but there's buses that she's designed, city buses, and she's just been an unbelievable artist over the years. And Marissa Martinez, it's funny. I don't know if you've ever seen this, but everybody in my immediate family here, Wendy and my two daughters and myself, we have an eagle ring that I bought for Christmas from Marissa, eagle feather, I should say. Eagle.
Oh. I was like, oh, do you guys take turns wearing the ring or something?
Or the eagle, right? Yeah. But she does silver work, and geez, I'm definitely going to try and get out there as soon as possible, because those are some really well-known artists too. And it's going to be hard too, because I know we're going to talk about a little bit about Shakopee's powwow, but I'm going to be trying to get out there for grand entry too. So I don't know, how can I be at two places at once?
You cannot. That's the trick. But, you know, there's a plenty other things. So if Shakopee powwow is a little bit too big for you and you want to hit up some of the smaller markets, this would be a good one. Again, 1228 Payne Avenue in St. Paul tomorrow, Saturday from 1 to 4. Otherwise, we have the Shakopee Midwakaton Sioux Community Winter Wachipi or Winter Powwow Celebration happening, going on all weekend. So the 3rd through the 4th, grand entry Saturday is at 1 and 7 p.m., Sunday at 1 p.m. It's public welcome. There's free admission, and there's also a live stream. And again, this is in Shakopee at 2300 Tawahi Circle.
Well, that's how I can be in two places at once. They have a live stream.
There you go.
Jeez, thank you. What the hell?
I know. I always like the live stream too. But they'll have moccasin games, drum groups, craft vendors, dance contests, prizes, all of the good stuff out there.
I know last year we had a group of Ho-Chunk playing the moccasin games that took second place. And that was nice. That was huge. And that's a That's a heck of a game. Come and watch. It's pretty fun and intense, and it's a big guessing game. And I'm sure it's in another room other than the main powwow, so walk around a little bit and try and find that. It's definitely worth it. It's definitely history and good medicine.
Absolutely. I remember trying to watch and learn from some of the players that were playing the moccasin games at the last powwow I was at. And it is such an exciting game. We get so into it. Anyways, if you can't make it to the Midwakaton Sioux powwow this weekend and you want to check out this Lover's Craft Affair Indigenous Market, is happening Sunday, February 4th. Noon to 4, and this is happening at Eagle and Condor, 790 7th Street, St. Paul.
Yeah, it's interesting that it's named that, too, and there's history behind the Eagle and the Condor, and that's a story about the Eagle as being the Native Americans and the Condor as our Latino friends in the south of the border, which, of course, there was no borders back then, but that have gotten together. And so it's a very symbolic name, too.
Mm, that's a good point. What else? So Trickster Tacos will be at the Lover's Craft Affair Indigenous Market on Sunday, along with Skoden Studio, Edible Arts, and Blue Hummingbird Woman. Well, that'll be awesome as well.
That's on Sunday. Okay, so Saturday you can go to the Native Heart Art Market, and then Sunday go to... on the east side too, the Lover's Craft Indigenous Market. Mingle, shop, and taste sweet treats.
I know. It's always everything is just good. The food, the company, the activities, the art, the jewelry. I just love going to powwows and all these art markets. Everyone's so talented.
Yeah, I want to mention this MMIWR event a couple times in this last segment. I know we got a couple other places to do talk about, but the Missing and Murdered Indigenous Relatives March, which, you know, since COVID's been kind of up and down. Last year, it was funny, it was raining, but also the streets were so icy. And this year we're looking for better weather, and it starts at 11 on February 14th, which is some people know as Valentine's Day also, but there's speakers at 11, and it's in the ASL Interpreted. Where is it exactly?
It's looking like East Phillips Community and Culture Center, 2307. Oh, cool.
That's where it was last year. Cool. Because we're used to having it at the Indian Center, and that's opening up soon in May. And we'll be able to get back, and Grandpa Pilot here won't be all confused where to go.
But yes, if you're going to go out to the march, we'll definitely be there again. February 14th, speakers start at 11, and march begins at noon, and wear red.
Yeah, definitely wear red, because it'll be a sea of red. And one of the things, too, I always want to remind our relatives and our allies that come to this and come to things like is that the women lead this march. And I just want to bring that up, because over the years, there's been lack of knowledge, but the women will be leading this march for sure. So that's one thing that we want to be straight with everybody, and come represent, come join in, wear red, and hear the speakers before the march. It's always inspiring. There's people from all over the country that come to this. And I remember one year Bernie Sanders' wife marched with us, and she was running for president, and that was really fun. We had her on Native Roots Radio that day. And so there's people that are really boots on the ground coming and joining us, and stories. And it's somber. It's so somber, Haley, that, you know, with people bringing in and their relatives are still missing. There's posters of mm-hmm. people and families that they still haven't found their loved ones. So it's a somber mm-hmm. event, but it needs to be done. And it's mm-hmm. also a gathering and a celebration of sorts.
Yeah. We'll keep bringing attention to our missing and murdered Indigenous relatives, and and we're always thinking about them. And yeah, it should be just a great day. We're hoping for a big turnout. And who are some of the other people, Robert or Dega, that that have came out to the march? Usually it's like Heather Keeler and
right,
Mary Kunish.
Yeah, and Mary always speaks, the state senator. She always speaks, and because that
locally grown radio from Vesper to Plover, we are your home for news, talk, and sports. 97.5 FM and WFHR, 1320 AM.
Hey, everybody, this is Aaron from the Todd Allbaugh Show. Just letting you know that Todd will be back on Monday with a brand new show. So tune in then from noon to two.
To everyone who craves a handcrafted treat, let our team member Sephora tell you about a Culver's favorite.
We make our thick and creamy fresh frozen custard in small batches all throughout the day. And we mean all day, every day. From our supremely rich shakes and concrete mixers to our freshly scooped dishes and cones, we handcraft every bite to pure perfection.
Come to Culver's and get a taste of our fresh frozen custard.
From Wisconsin, Wisconsin with love,
welcome to Delicious.
Culver's, 8th Street South, Wisconsin Rapids.
WFHR, Wisconsin Rapids, 1320 AM and W248DE, broadcasting at 97.5 FM.
This is CBS News on the Hour,